You're listening to the Empowered Caregiver Show, where we uplift caregivers through education and support while also lifting up their invaluable role in society. I'm Kristen.
And I'm Liza.
And together we are the Empowered Caregivers.
November is National Family Caregiver Month, and we plan to celebrate caregivers for the entire month. Celebrated every November, National Family Caregiver Month is a time to recognize and honor family caregivers across the country. It offers an opportunity to raise awareness of caregiving issues, educate communities, and increase in support for caregivers. The national observation is spearheaded by the Caregiver Action Network, otherwise known as CAN.
They can do it.
A nonprofit that provides free education, peer support, and resources to family caregivers.
I'm just going to keep saying that. The Caregiver Action Network is the group that began promoting national recognition of the family caregivers back in 1994. Mm. So they were organized. They actually had a different name at that point in time, but we're sticking with CAN. And President Clinton, I was like, I need to know the history of this because you know I've got a history background.
Right.
President Clinton signed the first National Family Caregiver Month presidential proclamation in 1997 from their advocacy work. And then every president since has followed suit by issuing an annual proclamation recognizing and honoring family caregivers each November. So that made me wonder, do you think that means that for every month where we have like a national something, the president has to do that every time?
I don't know.
Might be why we don't get a whole hell of a lot done out of Washington.
Good point. One in five Americans are family caregivers. Many caregivers work and also provide, while also providing care, experiencing conflicts between competing responsibilities. Research indicates that caregiving also takes a significant emotional, physical, and financial toll. Tell me about it, right?
I was just going to say, that might be why I'm exhausted today.
Right, and I hear you. With nearly half of all caregivers are over the age of 50, many are vulnerable to a decline in their own health. Studies show that support services can reduce caregiver depression, anxiety, stress, and enable them to provide care longer.
Which is why we're out here trying to build our community and create these support services.
Exactly.
To celebrate National Caregiver Month, we would like to honor caregivers throughout the state of Wisconsin. Whoop, whoop. So we need your help to do that. We know some family caregivers. We know organizations that work with family caregivers, and we're asking them all for some names. We've already got a few, but if you out there, listeners, know a family caregiver that you feel deserves recognition and a free gift basket from us, please nominate them today.
You can nominate a family caregiver by messaging us on Facebook, which is the Empowered Caregiver Community, contacting us through our website, which is empoweredcaregivercommunity.com, or emailing us at
empoweredcaregivercommunity@gmail.com. Mm-hmm. Right? So reach out, tell us, and you'll see on all of our, you know, social media and stuff what we're asking for, because we would really like to make sure that we're not just saying the person's name. What we're asking for is, why do you believe this person should be recognized as an empowered caregiver? What do you wish for this person, or what do you feel like other caregivers can learn from this person?
The purpose of celebrating family caregivers during National Family Caregiver Month enables us all to raise awareness of family caregiver issues, celebrate the efforts of family caregivers, educate family caregivers about self-identification, and increase support for family caregivers.
When we speak of family caregivers, we're referring to family and friends that care for another person that is not paid. Paid caregivers definitely deserve all of the praise and recognition they deserve, and we're going to get there, but our focus in November is on unpaid family caregivers. And we know that family can be a broad term, so you can consider yourself family if you're a friend or a distant relative that's doing this type of care for somebody.
Mm-hmm. And if you would like to join our conversation today, you can do so by calling 414-369-6005. We would love to hear from you about your caregiving experience, what you think needs to be done to support family caregivers, and what topics you'd like us to cover on future shows. Today, we're going to be talking about the 4 points of the CAN, National Family Caregiver Network, that we want to celebrate this month. I am sorry.
No, you're good. You're doing fine. Well, you know what it is that I think I'm making some signals to you that it's a good idea to repeat the phone number one more time.
Oh, yes. Okay. If you want to join us, you can call 414-369-6005.
Right. And what we're going to be doing today, from what I understand, is Liza's going to be asking me some questions, right?
I am, yes. So going back to celebrating the Family Caregiver Month, the first thing that CAN wanted to do with the purpose of this month was to raise awareness of family caregiver issues. So I just want to ask you, Kristen, what does that mean to you?
About how to raise these issues? I think that what's really important is to help the community around us. And in my case, I would say mostly my employers have been the people that I've wanted to understand what I'm going through. I want them to understand that this is a situation I'm in where I don't want your pity. People have heard me say this a couple times, right? And it's because I think that having pity for me or in the situation I am in taking care of my daughter with my adult daughter with special needs is going to not necessarily give me the value that I want, right? And so if I am saying we need to raise awareness of family caregiver issues, one of the primary things that we need to help people recognize is that those of us that identify as family caregivers are doing this oftentimes without much of a choice, right? We didn't select to be family caregivers usually. I didn't. And it doesn't mean that I don't want to do it. And it doesn't mean that I feel sorry for myself. So therefore, I don't really want or need anyone's pity. But what I want or need is people's understanding of what it means for me to have to react, respond, I guess basically react is the word I was going to say, in a way that doesn't always look like I'm very organized. And I like to come off as a professional, have it all together kind of gal. But when you're a family caregiver and you've got somebody who's got physical and emotional needs that are beyond the typical person's, there can be emergencies that come up more than the average person, right? And so I don't always get to stay as organized or slick as I want to look. And so therefore I come off flighty or flaky, and it's because I'm having to either manage too many things in one like concise moment, or I'm having to react to an emergency that's usually centered around Nicole's health.
Yeah. And on that note, why don't we take a step back?
Okay.
Can you tell listeners a little bit about Nicole for those that
Sure.
may be joining for the first time?
Yeah. So Nicole has epilepsy, autism, and an intellectual disability. So we deal with developmental stuff. We deal with cognitive stuff, but we also really have a medical issue periodically when she has seizures that we don't expect.
Right.
So when I'm asking people to have empathy or understanding or to understand, right? It's, I guess empathy and understanding, sorry, it's the same thing. I'm looking at the word raise awareness. What I want people to understand and the awareness that I want to raise is that we need flexibility and we need openness and security, especially in the workplace, to be able to ask for understanding, to be able to ask for permission to do things a little bit differently.
Exactly.
Liza, can you tell listeners about your caregiver journey and what caregiver issues you experienced that you feel others may not understand?
Sure. My caregiving journey is I have a 18-year-old son, soon to be 19, that was diagnosed with autism at the age of 2. So we did a lot of intensive treatments during the early years, and he is off at Edgewood College this year. So that's a new experience for us. But I think when it comes to caregiver issues, what I would like people to understand or to raise awareness on the fact that this is a whole nother job You know, this can be a whole nother job in addition to caring for family and trying to work. I mean, there are so many pieces to that puzzle, or there can be, you know, as far as transportation and organizing teams and communicating those teams, you know, getting those each team on the same page so the OT knows what the speech is doing and the school knows, you know, and we're all on the same page on what the goal is and what we want to try to accomplish. And it's a lot. I mean, it can really be a lot to do that. And you know, do your other responsibilities. And I would say, and I know we're going to get to this a little bit later because one of the things is self-identification. Mm-hmm. But for me, I think also just raising the awareness that caregivers are caregivers.
Exactly.
And yeah.
Right. And I think what, when you were pausing there for a moment, what was coming to my mind is it's hard to do all that and keep your head above water.
It is.
Which means just actually enjoying and living your own life, right? And so being able to be healthy yourself, but also being able to have some fun, being able to laugh, and be able to just kind of live in the moment.
Exactly. The next topic of the National Caregiver Month was created to address the celebrating the efforts of family caregivers. To me, this can be taken a couple different ways. Of course, you can celebrate all the countless tasks that caregivers do on any given day, but you can also celebrate the caregiving journey itself, right? And the self-discovery that goes along with it. So, Kristen, I know we're going to be coming up on a break, but if I gave you permission to celebrate your efforts as a caregiver, what comes to mind?
Well, I've mentioned it on here a couple times, but I love to talk about it, is this bracelet that I bought where it's stamped on it that says Choose Joy. And for me, the whole thing about celebrating being a caregiver is recognizing that I'm not going to be happy. To me, joy isn't happiness. I'm not going to be happy all of the time, but I do have the ability to choose to find the joy in the moments. I have the ability to find and create and choose that soul-filling and soul resource of joy. And on that note, we'll be back in a couple moments to discuss more about joy, more about the National Family Caregiver Month, and all the things that we want to do. Listening to the Empowered Caregiver Show. I'm Kristen and I'm here in studio with my co-host Eliza, and we're having a free-flowing discussion about the National Family Caregiver Month celebration, which is for the month of November. And if you are just joining us, we were discussing how the history of it started way back in the 1990s when President Clinton signed a proclamation making November National Family Caregiver Month. And every president since then has followed suit. And President Biden has said that November 2022 is going to be National Family Caregiver Month. The organization that kind of takes charge of it all and puts a theme to it is the National Caregiver. Wait, actually, I don't even remember what it can. So it's the care. It's the Caregiver Action Network.
Yes.
They keep changing their name. And then there's like three other organizations. Yes, Caregiver Action Network. Sorry about that.
And it's a mouthful.
It is a mouthful, and you know, because everybody is just operating in a world of acronyms now. So
right.
CAN is the one spearheading it, and they put a theme to it. And this year's theme is #CaregivingHappens.
Mm.
And the idea is that people can post on social media and just raise awareness throughout this idea that caregiving is going to happen on the spot, which was sort of my point in the last segment when I talked about how one of the things that I want from people is for them to understand that sometimes I'm going to need your patience and your flexibility when caregiving happens and I have to disrupt something I might be doing. Also, what they want to do, though, is help people that are family caregivers educate themselves about the fact that they're family caregivers. In other words, they want to make sure that we are educating family caregivers about self-identification.
Mm-hmm. And to me, that's another one that can be looked at in multiple ways. First, I think there's the very basic understanding that I had mentioned before that you are a family caregiver.
Right.
You know, most people see this as a familial duty. And, you know, I mean, that's what you do. You take care of your family.
Right.
Right. You don't get a title necessarily. You just step up and you take on the role. But caregivers are typically caring and nurturing people. I mean, you say a lot of times, I didn't choose this. This happened to me. But you do have choices, right?
Exactly.
You could have ran for the hills.
Yep.
Yes. So people that accept this role are typically nurturing people. They may not necessarily have signed up for this role, but they typically enjoy doing it because it's within their nature. And Kristen, you shared a story with me the other day about how you had this aha moment for you when you realized how caregiving has always been a part of who you are. You want to share that?
Yeah, I mean, I think with all of the work and research we're doing for this show, we are realizing a lot about caregiving. At least I am, right? I'm getting into those internet rabbit holes that hours later I look up and think, where the heck did all the time go? And I'm reading about all these organizations like CAN and all these national alliances and goals that different people in their own small businesses all the way to large advocacy groups are trying to accomplish for family caregivers. And it's gotten me really reflecting on who am I? I don't know. I've thought of myself as a teacher primarily, as a professional, right? Obviously, I'm a wife, a mother, a daughter, a friend, all those things too. But when somebody says, what do you do? I've always said, well, I'm a teacher. And I think as I'm shifting out of teaching to starting this business with you, the Empowered Caregiver Community, I'm recognizing that this caregiver stuff is calling to me because it actually is the way I approached teaching. I don't think this is true for everyone, and I don't think it has to be. There's, you know, thousands of different teachers out there, so there's thousands of different teaching styles, which is good because we have lots and lots of different learning styles. But for me, I always said, if I want to be a high school social studies teacher, I shouldn't be here because I want to teach history or I want to teach sociology. I need to be here because I want to teach students. I want to teach adolescents. If you want to teach the content, you should be at the college level because you should be a content expert. But for me, where I really felt my strength was and where I got excited and my mojo came was when I was able to look at my students as human beings and really reach out to them and care for them. And it wasn't in like a parental way, but more in a coaching way, in terms of like, what is it that gets you excited? Okay, it might not be our content, but do you like to write? And if you like to write lyrics, do you like to write raps? Do you like to write poetry? Do you like to draw? Do you like to read? You know, and so it's just really being able to be present to people in their journey on this planet that has made me realize that caregiving is what I'm all about.
Mm-hmm. So realizing that you are indeed a caregiver can have additional life responsibilities as a caregiver is part one. But then the next part is to educate family caregivers about self-identification. So to me, the self-discovery, it's a process of self-discovery. Who you are as a person, what are your needs, your goals, what do you want to accomplish in life?
Exactly. And I think, you know, again, as I'm having this shift and transition in my own life, I'm asking myself those questions more than I probably would on a typical day. And in part of that, I'm also spending some time doing some of the things that I know are really good for me for self-care. And one of them is to try to pretend that I meditate and to try to pretend that I read daily meditations. My daily meditations end up being maybe about once a month. But when I choose to do something, I reach out for various books. And the one that is coming to my mind right now is a book by Patty Digg called Your Daily Rock, a daybook of touchstones for daily lives. And today's was Leave a Piece of Yourself Behind. In that reading, for the page, she quotes the famous author Ray Bradbury. She doesn't always. Sometimes she's quoting people that you've never heard of. But the quote that she gave from Ray Bradbury today was, "Everyone must leave something behind when he dies," my grandfather said. "A child or a book or a painting or a house or a wall built or a pair of shoes made, or a garden planted, something your hand touched in some way so your soul has somewhere to go when you die. And when people look at that tree or that flower you planted, you're there. And I think what we're doing tonight is talking about how we can leave things. So we're going to take a short break and come back and talk about the touchstones that we leave. This is the Empowered Caregiver Show, and I'm Kristen Voss, and I'm here with my co-host Eliza, and we have been discussing our reflections on being family caregivers. And the reason we're discussing this is because next month, November, we're coming up on National Family Caregiver Month, and we want to be able to celebrate the various family caregivers that we know and the ones that we don't know. So we're asking people out in the audience, we're asking people in our community to make some nominations to us about various people that they think should be recognized as an empowered caregiver. Before we went to break, I was telling Liza that one of the ways that I think it's important to celebrate is to think about legacies, right? And to think about what it is that we can leave behind. And the reason why I had that on my mind is because I oftentimes read a daily meditation book. And the daily meditation for today was all about a Ray Bradbury quote. And the author of my meditation book summed it up as, leave a piece of yourself behind. And she said that we need to think about making our mark in the world, however big or small, because it means leaving behind a touchstone. And so she asked us to contemplate, what are we leaving behind? And I think we're working on leaving the show and our work to empower caregivers as our touchstone. But Liza, what are your thoughts on the purpose of this show and what it is you want to leave behind?
I think the purpose of this show for me is to connect family caregivers together and to provide resources and to create a community, but really to empower family caregivers and have them know that they're not alone, and that this is a big part of it. I would always go back to the Ray's Family Caregiver Act.
Yep, which your favorite.
Which is a bill.
It's part of a bill.
Bill in Congress to address caregiver issues. And I feel like this is really in the infancy stage. It makes me think about my journey with autism. Mm-hmm. When my son was first diagnosed with autism, I received a pamphlet, and I believe it was outdated at the time, but it
probably
was, yeah, it was 1 in 10,000 kids were diagnosed with autism. So it was autism awareness, autism awareness, autism awareness. Now we're aware, right? Everybody mm-hmm. hopefully knows what autism is. And then it's about autism acceptance, you know, accept. So I think we've gotten there, and then it's moved on to inclusion. Okay. Mm-hmm. How do we integrate this population, right, into our society and make sure that it's inclusive? So I compare that with the caregiver journey, which I think is very much at the infancy stage of awareness. And that kind of goes back to the last point of, you know, first we got to get caregivers to realize that they're caregivers. And, you know, they may know that. I mean, obviously they're going to know that and they'll understand the stress, but I don't think people necessarily understand the impacts, you know. And that's as I went down my rabbit holes of caregiver research, it was like, wow, my rate of heart disease is doubled as a caregiver. Wow, that's right. I didn't pay into Social Security all those years I was running my kiddo from place to place. You know, you wake up and you put on some jogging pants and start, you know, go right at it.
Right.
You don't really think about this. So I really want to raise that level of awareness. And I would love to be able to leave behind change,
right?
You know, even if it's at a local level, getting the government mm-hmm. more involved with advocacy work and fighting the good fight there, and going into businesses and making them caregiver friendly.
Yeah, and you just commented earlier that you thought it was really important for us to realize that we're not alone. And I think Liza dragged me into this, ladies and gentlemen and people of the audience, that, you know, I was like, wow, a radio show? Okay, I hadn't really thought too much about that. But then I recognized that it would be a good vehicle for us to be able to advertise some of the courses and some of the workshops we want to do, but more importantly, to raise the awareness that we've been talking about. And in the process of all of this, what, Liza, you have helped me recognize is that we've really helped each other. And we aren't alone because we have one another, and we do a good job of supporting the people that we know in our roles. And it's funny because as we talk to people, I mean, even folks that were just working here in the studio an hour ago, they say, oh, I've got a daughter. Oh, I have a son. Oh, you know, and they start telling us about the different people they know that are in this caregiver position. And it's like, this is exactly what we wanted. And so I think it's really great that that's one of the things that you want to leave behind, is that we're really helping one another understand we don't have to do this alone. And their strength and power in numbers. So to bring about the changes in the legislature, to bring about the changes in the workplace, we do need to organize, right? We do need to get empowered, but it's also how we're going to get through the day when it's a tough day.
Yeah. And I think we probably share the same sentiments as far as what we want to accomplish with the empowered caregiver community in this show. But what I think is important for everyone to spend some time with is defining, you know, what they want to be remembered for and what they want to accomplish in life. And that is hard when you're a caregiver, to have that quiet time, to be alone with your thoughts, to really think about, what do I want out of this life? I got one shot at it, right? Mm-hmm. So when it comes to being a caregiver, how do you want to be remembered and what do you want to accomplish?
Ooh, these are your good, powerful questions that you ask as a coach. So when I think about myself as just a caregiver, how do I want to be remembered? I think I want to be remembered as somebody who was able to bear witness. Because I think that's my strength. And I think that when I can bear witness to the person I'm taking care of, whether it's Nicole or some of the friends that I've taken care of, or when I was taking care of my parents when they were sick, I am a control freak and I want to tell everybody how to do it and to do it my way, but that usually doesn't work. And so when I recognize that what I really want to accomplish is just letting this person know that they're not alone. Mm. And that my job as their caregiver is to bear witness to their journey and to their experience. And I can't change it, fix it, or control it. But what I can do is just let them know that I'm with them.
That's wonderful. I mean,
thanks.
Yeah. That's all they really need, right? That's all they really need.
Yeah. Now, I would also really love, and so, you know, some of you out there might get on this, I would love a big statue in
right.
in downtown Madison on the square of me and like some major accomplishments we've made in legislation for family caregivers. You know, I'd like to be written up in a book or two, but if I can't have that, then I just want to know that I was able to successfully bear witness to some folks.
That works.
Thanks.
Yeah. The last topic on the National Caregiver Month was created to address increasing support for family caregivers. Kristen, what does that look like to you?
Well, you know, Liza, I think I've been talking too much, so I might throw this one right back at you.
Oh, okay.
All right. So before I get to think about it, I want you to think about it, and then I might piggyback off of your answer. How do you think we can best support family caregivers?
The first thing that comes to mind to me is the you're not alone, which sounds silly. I would have to say, you know, there was a point in my time or a point in my life I might have rolled my eyes if somebody said that, especially as someone that is probably more of an introvert
mm-hmm.
and quiet mm-hmm. and keeps to myself. I wouldn't have gotten that concept. But I think there has to be support and resources for people to connect and share. You know, there's so many times I went with you, you know, I ran to you with my caregiver story, sometimes tears flowing, mm-hmm. About my day, and it just helps to be able to process that. Now, I feel like there's a lot of things that we've talked about that can be done to support family caregivers as far as making the workplaces more caregiver friendly would be a great start, because most people work. And like you said, caregiving happens.
Mm-hmm. Well, can came up with that, not me, can. Right?
Yes.
Hashtag caregiving happens.
Hashtag caregiving happens. So making sure that employers know that and incorporate that in their values and missions. Those are the two big things that come to mind for me. You have any thoughts on how we could increase support for family caregivers?
I think continuing to talk with them. Mm-hmm. You know, so one of the things that we've talked about, Liza and I, as we're planning for this show, is how we want to structure our programming. And I think having a week where we're really looking at advocacy, so we're making some tangible change that people can point to. Like I said, you can write me up in a, well, you can write us up in a history book someday and can say, we brought about the bill or the legislation that, you know, allowed for more family medical leave time if you're a caregiver, not just because you're a parent, right? Something like that. But then we've also talked about how we can provide resources for folks, which I think we've done a really nice job of so far. We've brought on some great local resources here in Dane County. Mm-hmm. But I think what oftentimes makes me feel really good and supported is when we have caregivers on, mm-hmm. and we hear stories about how they've taken their situation and made some like positive stuff out of it, right? Like I'm thinking of your friend Jen, who talked a lot about using it for her comedy and using it as a way to open up her songs and just, you know, just taking another piece of her that she really values and using caregiving as a way to, well, not using caregiving, I guess, but using more the other side, right? Using her creative outlets as a way to bring her caregiving into the picture so that she can be sort of doing both. And then I'm thinking of some of the people that we've had on who have to take care of their spouses, mm-hmm. and how they've also tried to find ways to really share their stories in a way that feels empowering. So I think for me, it's getting the stories out there and letting people just keep talking about it.
And I love that last part, share your story. You know, mm-hmm. I think that would be beneficial for people to be able to craft their caregiving story.
Right.
You know, and use that to empower them. Many parts of this journey have been hard, and many things about this journey have made me such a better person.
Mm-hmm.
And
definitely.
I've learned so much.
Right.
So there are those positives, you know, and so how can we embrace that?
Right. And where are the silly parts? Where are the funny parts? Where are the embarrassing parts? You know, that kind of stuff. When have we just started like losing our temper and saying inappropriate things? Today, Nicole's phone fell off the car. I'm not going to get into all the details, but basically I wasn't very patient. And she's like, I don't know where my phone is. And I mean, the phone is usually attached to her, like typical young adults, right? And I'm like, what do you mean you don't know where your phone is? And she said, I think I left it on the top of the car. And this is as we are about a half mile from our house.
Oh, no.
And I was like, well, okay, did you or didn't you? I'm like, you did or you didn't? And then I'm like, well, look around, look at your stuff. And she's just looking at me. So I slam the car, you know, around the corner, put it into park, and I'm kind of screaming, I hate to admit, and like, where's the phone? And in the process of doing that, I kind of went up on the curb, made a lot of attention, and at least three pedestrians stopped, turned and looked at me like, what is happening in that car? And I'm like, I'm sorry. I'm dealing with my daughter and the fact that she can't keep track of her things and shouldn't be responsible enough to have this phone that I am now picking up off of the middle of the road. And the phone itself was still safe. It hadn't been run over, but the case was broken. And it just, you know, I get back in the car and I think, oh, I just suck. Like, I'm well, because I'm like screaming at her and it doesn't, you know, it's something that she didn't mean to do. But at the same time, I'm frustrated and I only have so much patience. And that's where it's like we have to craft our stories to be able to recognize that we're going to have our faults. We're going to have our flaws and we're going to have to. I just looked at her and said, I'm sorry, I'm not very patient today and I wasn't very nice. And she looked at me and she said, that's OK. At least I have my phone.
Yeah, that's all I really care about anyways.
Right. We'll be back right after this short break to finish up our last thoughts on the National Family Caregiver Month next week. Next month, excuse me.
Uplift caregivers through education and support while also lifting up their invaluable role in society. I'm Liza and I'm here with my co-host Kristen, and we have been talking about the National Family Caregiver Month, which was spearheaded by the Caregiver Action Network and signed into presidential proclamation in 1997 by President Clinton. And I know, Kristen, when we went into break, you were just sharing your weekly caregiver story, and you had asked me if I had one. And the only thing that came to mind, because now my son is at college, although he does find a way to come home a lot.
Seems like it.
he does.
He's figured out that whole idea that there's better food, yeah, and there's a better washing machine and better TV and cable, right?
Well, yeah. Well, you know, actually, he likes doing laundry. So okay, he's got that. He's going to make some wife happy someday.
Exactly.
Right?
But does he like doing it at college or does he like doing it at home? Or does it matter?
It doesn't matter, but I think he's staying on top of his room now. He won't let me in it. So I'm not quite sure.
Guess again, Mom.
Yeah, I'm not quite sure about that. But one thing that comes to mind for me is we had ICP meeting, which they call it at Edgewood College, which is the equivalent to an IEP meeting for special education students in the public school district. And we were working on our goals. And out of nowhere, he kind of said, after this meeting, I gotta go home. I left the milk that you bought me in the refrigerator. And I said, no, I'm not gonna be driving back home and back to college. You know what? Why don't we make a goal of you creating a grocery list, mm-hmm, and walking down to Trader Joe's, which is close. And he's like, and I'm like, what's your objection to that?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And he goes, well, if I go to the store, then wouldn't I have to spend my money?
I love that boy.
He can be a ham.
Right. Well, and it doesn't end, right? And so that can be something that, you know, you don't have to have a young adult with special needs to have them trying to ask you for more money, right? Lots of kids do that. But it is that whole idea of having to provide that extra structure and that extra. I love how you always, Liza, you always have a really good way when Caden has an issue or there's a problem of saying, well, now how can we bring this to you in a possible way that you could actually solve it, right? So I loved that you were like, can we make a grocery list?
Yeah.
But it's great that now he's recognizing, but that means if I'm going without you, Mom, I'm going to be paying for it.
Yeah, and we experienced that actually today. I took him to a class, and he's got some grievances about college and, mm-hmm, you know, things that are bugging him. And I said, okay, well, what do you do, right? Mm-hmm. How do you advocate for yourself? And then I'm like, what you told me was the problems, and I understand those, and those can be frustrating, but what are your solutions? What would you like to see happen? So, I mean, that's one thing that I'm kind of working with him right now, because it's easy to be like, ugh. Right. I'm mad. I don't like this. I don't want this to be like this.
Right. But say, can you go a little bit deeper and tell our listeners that might not be familiar with kids that have special needs, why is that different than just parenting a neurotypical kid?
Well, I think for him, he doesn't see that, right? He doesn't get to the solution part.
Right.
It's just, this is what I don't like, and I'm going to be mad about it.
Right.
And he tries to connect that with other things, like, I need a milkshake. Why do you need a milkshake? Well, because there was a kid running up and down the hall that was really loud. You know what I mean?
Sure.
So I don't know if that's answering your question. But
I think it is, but I think some parents would say the same thing about any of their typical kids. But I think what has to happen from your angle, at least what I witnessed when I'm watching you, especially when you're actually engaging with Caden, is that it's not just the like typical parenting and coaching of like, okay, what can you do to solve this? It's that you have to think, and this is the part that I think must get exhausting as a family caregiver. You have to think in terms of somebody who has autism when you don't have autism.
Oh, right.
Right. So you could say that to your other kid and, you know, you might even get the same answers. Well, I still need a milkshake because you and dad were making so much noise last night, right?
Well, that didn't happen.
but my point being that I think it's that we have to think and we have to act in ways that are just so much more intense than we would just navigating our typical roles as parents, as daughters, as spouses, and that's that part that we're talking about that makes the family caregiver stand out.
Yeah, no, I agree, and I try not to toot my own horn often, but that's an area that I feel like with Caden that I'm proud of myself. I have a pretty good understanding of him and putting myself in his shoes and trying to come up with ways. How do I make this make sense?
Right.
You know?
But it's also because you understand autism. It's not just so much that you understand your son, because again, I guess what I'm trying to say to you, Liza, is you do more than you don't like to toot your own horn. You do more than you're recognizing as a parent because you're also this family caregiver that we keep talking about, right? And
sure.
So you've put hours and hours and hours into understanding autism and understanding how people that are autistic think, so that when you have to help Caden navigate a social situation, a problem-solving situation, a sensory situation, you have some expertise that helps you coach him and helps him navigate in a way that's actually successful, which I don't even feel like I am able to do sometimes. I oftentimes lean on you to give me that perspective on how to approach Nicole. And so I'm here to celebrate you because I want to celebrate family caregivers.
Oh, thank you.
Yes. And so even if you want to nominate yourself, people, we'll never know what your names are, right?
Right.
So we want to be able to take all of these ideas and actions on celebrating and honoring people and direct it to local caregivers in our audience, right? So I love getting chocolate. I love getting gifts. You know, this goes to the whole love language things. Do you love service? Do you love words? Do you love touch? Right. And so we want to be able to take items, because that's going to be the easiest thing in a gift basket. But
I'm like, where are you going with this? We're not going to go touch you. Don't worry.
No, we aren't going to be giving you massages, but somebody who nominates you, who thinks that you're an outstanding family caregiver, might be giving you a massage as a way to honor you after we've identified their nomination, read their words, and really put the spotlight on you.
Yes. So we are looking for caregivers in all different types of categories, spousal care, parenting, child with special needs, aging parent, you name it. If you have a caregiver that you would like to nominate to be acknowledged on the show and receive a gift basket, reach out to us at empoweredcaregivercommunity.com.
Thanks so much. Have a great week.
Thank you.